Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is help at home with minor home maintenance. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
And welcome back to Project Independence and You. We're just going to get right into it. We're talking with Nicole Christensen. She is a board-certified patient advocate, and we're talking about caregiving and really the things that we're kind of learning. It's always good to learn, and we're learning a lot during this crisis, how to better react, how to better connect with our caregivers and doctors. And Otto, you were really kind of, you know, bringing up an interesting point before we...
Well, I feel that what's going on in many cases is almost inhumane. You know, like I started to say before the break, you can't be with somebody in the hospital. Maybe they can't even talk. They're just laying there like a piece of meat and nobody can help them. They could be in a hospice kind of environment. I know you can go in for 5 minutes or whatever, two people, maybe. But, you know, when people are needed, when you're in that stage, when you're dying, or you're in a nursing home, and all of a sudden, nobody can visit you at all. I think we have to have more electronic communication capabilities as part of the norm in the hospital, not just where you get somebody who says, "Oh, I'll do FaceTime with your loved one," I know the nurses and the doctors are all busy. There's no question about that. So for them to take time to do something like FaceTime, I think it has to be thought about in a more standard way, like a new normal. The new normal is, I live in Seattle, Washington, and I want to be able to communicate with my daughter who's in the nurse, my wife or my mother, not my wife, but my mother who's in a nursing home. The ability to communicate like that has to be started to taken as a norm, not as a, you know, like we're doing here, like a Band-Aid, because it's, you know, you're in a Band-Aid environment. I think it has to be normal in the future.
I totally agree. I was just having a discussion with my colleagues, you know, in a hospital room or in a nursing home or long-term care facility, they have TVs, right? I don't think those are going to be TVs. I think they're going to be virtual devices so that you can speak to your loved one or speak to the specialist that's not on that floor today, you know? So this is what I think is going to happen anyway. So, you know, what have you, you're not on the cardiology floor, but you have a history of cardiology events. And so rather than walking to the floor, they're not going to be there until it's time for your shower or what have you. You have that one-on-one that's already set up so that you can speak with that. And then additionally, again, for the same amount of a TV, you have the direct link to your family or caregivers or loved ones. How many people? You could put lots of people on there because it's virtual. So I do think that people are thinking that way. And again, a silver lining, this crisis has made it, you know, things that I've been saying for a long time have been actually, now it's in the forefront. So Otto, I hope that it will continue to move that way.
Almost like a movable kiosk unit, you know, how the nurses now come into hospitals and they have everything on there. You know, table on the wheels, and they're just getting it to people. I mean, it's just so easy to communicate on Zoom, on FaceTime, every phone, everything. So yeah, Otto, I totally agree. And I think, again, this is definitely, I'm going to say the silver lining, but it just really points this out. You know, it took this crisis to really see a lot of the weaknesses in the system. But
Well, I mean, we are in the infancy of that type of thing. History. I mean, if you go ahead 30 years from now, you will, I won't, but that you'll see technology very different than it is today. Just like if you look back 30 years ago, this didn't exist, you know? So, you know, there's a lot of things that will be going on. And, And out of adversity comes strength sometimes. You know, you learn, and hopefully you learn. We don't always learn, of course. We've had wars, that's another topic, where they go on again, but they shouldn't. You know, but we can learn positive things. As Nicole points out, I think positive attitude is super critical in life. And I mean, you see people who have handicaps and whatnot, I have no idea how they do it. They get through. I saw a video of a man who was actually able to draw pictures on a typewriter, basically with his nose. So there are people who do some remarkable things, and then there are people who have everything and they're in doom and gloom, and they're on the pity pot all the time. And, you know, how do you change that? You know, the mental health, the mental approach. Right. I don't know if you can. You can only do what Nicole is doing, talking about if you have a negative, say three positives. That's a good thinking. It really is.
And living a life of trying to live a life, and that, I'm not saying this is, all of these things are easier said than done, right?
But I mean, that's not, nobody walks around like, oh boy, everything is peachy, you know?
right.
But trying to just be so grateful. And that's another thing I think that this crisis has brought, is being grateful for what you have. Like, for instance, I'm isolated like everybody else, but I'm still able to work and get message out, and I have my family and they're all here. And so I know that I am so blessed and fortunate. And so sometimes we forget that because we get all anxious. So so sometimes it's just good to just take time by yourself and be grateful.
Well, I have said that I believe that the generation that's now the younger generation going through this will be a much stronger generation as a result of it. You know, they're all of a sudden the bubble broke a little bit, and you know, a lot of things that were taken for granted before, you're not going to take them so for granted in the future. You know?
So one of the things that, you know, Project Independence is all about is planning. And, you know, it's when you think you're planned, we had the circle of support, when you think you're super planned and you got all your ducks in a row, and something like this happens, and there's just no way to really ever plan for something like this. But there are the things that we should be doing along the way. And I know one of the things that Nicole wanted to talk about was things like, you know, a healthcare proxy, power of attorney. When is it best to have these things set in place?
Now, no matter what your age, it is now.
I knew that. I just wanted you to say.
I know. So that healthcare proxy, as important as the healthcare proxy is, which is vitally important, especially now, it is the discussions about what you would want to have happen. And people are often fearful of these discussions, and there's just really no need to be. We all see that bad side of having, there's no bad side of having the discussion. It's kind of like my colleagues that are attorneys when they talk about wills, like nobody died by planning a will, you know, that's not how it works. So, and it gives peace of mind to your loved ones. So those conversations and continuing conversation, it's just not one and done, about what you might want to happen if you were incapacitated. So somebody has to speak for you because you won't be able to speak for yourself. And again, during this crisis, it's a little bit more clear how we can all, no matter what our age, find ourselves in this situation. So it's really very crucial. I've had folks in my life, even former clients, that they didn't have that conversation and they had to make up their minds in that moment. And right. That is just, that's just not what you want. You don't want somebody guessing what you would want. You want to tell right. them so that if, God forbid, the time happens, they can speak your words, not their words or their choices. So
right.
really, really important. It's not a hard thing to do. So get talking and get your healthcare proxy done. So again, healthcare proxy is able to make healthcare decisions for you if you are somehow incapacitated, even if it's for a short time. And then there's the power of attorney, which that person will be able to make your financial decisions if for some reason you're incapacitated. And those two, they're people that do all sorts of crazy things. One is they don't do it at all. Then there's the other of, you know, spreading the love around, right? So you need to really think about who's going to be appropriate, because healthcare costs money. So that person who's the power of attorney, they all need to be on the same page as to what you would want. So those are vitally, vitally important.
You know,
go ahead, Otto. Yes.
Well, one of the things that in line with what you're talking about that came up during this experience, and we used Project Independence, Andrea, and had a conversation. All of a sudden, he's in a position, he didn't have any money to begin with, and should have been really applying for Medicaid a long time ago, but there's a pride factor that comes into it. And then all of a sudden you find out it costs $10,000 to get a lawyer to get you Medicaid. And that's where we were, and then get the phone call and find out, okay, you don't have to worry about Medicaid. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the point being that those types of things in a lot of situations can be thought about ahead of time, as Absolutely. Opposed to what we were going through in this case was a fire drill. Like, how are we going to handle this? With all the things I've heard in my last, whatever, 15 years, 10 years, I don't know, connection with Project Independence, I've always heard about these things, Medicaid particularly. And now all of a sudden we're down to the nitty gritty and find out it's really pretty damn complicated and expensive, because you wind up having to get an attorney to do nursing home Medicaid, and they don't work for free, you know. Even though it's a charitable world.
It's true, but the truth of the matter is, as I'm sure you know, Otto, is that the planning, just like everything else, not planning is planning to fail, right? So the doing the planning is much, much, much more cost effective than having to do it at the time. It just is.
Yeah. We're now at our next time to take a brief break. Time is going really fast.
It really is.
You know, Otto, you brought something up, and I just wanted to hone in a little bit and see if you have any advice on the cost of an elder law attorney, and do you really need an elder law attorney, and are there, you know, someone like yourself could be helpful with the process of, you know, getting a healthcare proxy aligned, the power of attorney, and to figure out all the stuff that you need to navigate through when you're planning like this. So maybe we can address that when we come back in just a few seconds.